The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 to 19. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard, in love, because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning. Last week we watched the haka. Who went home and had a practice? No, fair enough. He asked the question, are you willing to fight? And they said, no, we're willing to run away. He said, well, you can, but then they take your freedom. They take what is yours because you won't fight for it. Last week, we looked at our greatest war, the war within ourselves. The enemy that we fight is us. This week we're going to look at what we need to fight that battle and have many victories. You remember last week that I told you that for 15 years I've been fighting the battle because I became aware of it. And for 15 years I've had some losses, but I've had many more victories. This series, it finishes this week, 2-week series, bit weird. We've looked at what it's all about. It's winning the war within yourself, because the truth is, and whether you like it or not, you are at war. You are at war with the enemy, you're at war with the world, in a sense. It's a complicated relationship that we have with the world, because the Bible says, and we're told, do not love the world. Fair enough. But then the Bible goes on to say, God so loved the world. And then it says, we must be like God. So then we're confused. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But we're not to love the world. You can imagine why people get a bit, how are you? Because what is going on there? We are in the world, but not of the world. Do you remember the shirts that used to go around in the 90s? Not of this world, plastered across the front? Wes had one. That's how I know about it. As followers of Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. So we can see that from... So we can see that living here, but having our citizenship heart in heaven, that's a huge challenge for us to live here and long for what is to come. It causes us to fight against the two most common temptations. First one, imitation. On the one hand, we are enticed to imitate the world, to belong. The feeling of belonging, the feeling of being wanted, that's a human thing. We act just as the world acts, and we lose our saltiness, we lose our light, we lose our uniqueness. So imitation is a mistake. It's a temptation that we can't afford. Where we so much like the world that we have nothing to offer the world because we're just like they are. But on the other hand, we can't be separated from the world because God has not called us in that way. To be separated from the world kind of makes us a bit like the Pharisees, where you don't want to get any of the sinners' cooties on you because then you're just like they are. And we know that Jesus didn't have a lot of time for the Pharisees, don't we? We can't very well reach the world if we've abandoned the world. When church tries to live as though it's already made it to heaven, it loses touch with what the church is actually meant to be doing. So imitation and separation are both mistakes. We can't live in those two worlds. We can't be drawn in by the temptation of living like the world to save the world. You can't live like the world and save the world for Jesus. We're supposed to live in an infiltration mind game with the world. Go where they are, be strong, fight the battle. And where is it? You've got to fight your own battle. You have to infiltrate your own mind with the silly games that Satan would play with you. I haven't had time for any games with Satan this week. But I do find that when I've got no thing occupying my time and space, he comes and he lies and he fills up my head. I need to infiltrate my own being with the word of God, with the prayers of others, with my concern for other people and what they're going through. The less I focus on how poorly I'm doing, the more victory I have in the war against myself. We've got to infiltrate the world for Jesus, and you're in part of that world. We have to infiltrate our workplaces, our school classrooms, and that's why the Chappie Challenge is really important. No, I said this on Thursday at Home League. No money, no chaplains, which also equals the kids don't have an infiltrating presence on their side in school. We have to be out there rubbing shoulders and doing life with people, encouraging them towards Christ, encouraging them to know Jesus and to shine our light before men. The scripture this morning says we are sons and daughters of the light, not the darkness. We are sons and daughters of the day and not the night. Somewhere else in scripture it says all things that are done in the darkness shall be revealed in the light. There are no secrets with God. There is nothing that you can hide. There is nowhere to go. All things will be revealed. So instead of letting all things be revealed, they need to be thwarted, is a good word, and they need to be revealed to yourself. This fight is private. You don't need to be plastering all of your victories or your losses over any social media or even to each other. But the battle will rage on as long as we let it. The complicated relationship with the world doesn't stop just because we want it to. It's complicated. As you know, a human relationship is complicated, much less an entire world relationship. We know the world brings us tribulation, opposition, and persecution. I personally have never been persecuted for my faith. And when I hear of people who are, I can't help but wonder, what would I have done in the same situation? Probably would have just laid on the floor and just be done with it. I'm done. I can be very brave in certain situations, but I've never been actually persecuted, as we know that some Christians have been. Both through our scripture and in our modern times, we know that this still goes on. So what the Bible is saying is love the people of the world, that includes loving yourself, without loving the world view, which is hostile against the gospel. So you're in a battle whether you like it or not. The battle with the world and the battle with yourself. We fight against Satan every day. We fight against Satan. He is relentless to push us off our path of following Christ. One of the ways that we can prepare for battle, for want of a better expression actually, maybe you need some reminders. Maybe you've never thought of yourself as a person of the light or the day. You are a person created by God to bring the light, to be the day for somebody who constantly lives in darkness, by their own choice or not. Our daily activities should be that of worship. May not be, if you're a teacher, standing in the middle of your classroom for half an hour singing worship songs before you start teaching. Or if you're a truck driver, perhaps not cracking open a songbook at a truck stop. That's not what that means. Our everyday activities should reflect the very light that you've been called to be. Our world is beautiful and full of so much majesty, so many majestic things. And one of those things is the wolf. Who likes the wolf? The animal, you know, kind of like a dog, but will rip your heart out for you. Yeah, gorgeous, majestic, mysterious even. The wolf has been revered across cultures and civilizations and countries as the epitome of the warrior spirit. And when I hear people say, oh, my spirit animal is the wolf, I giggle and move on, but my spirit animal is a bear, my spirit animal is a tiger or whatever. Your spirit animal is you. You are your spirit animal, fostered by the Holy Spirit to go out there and to let that Holy Spirit shine its light for all, to also become children of the day and the light. But the wolf. We know wolves are ferocious. We know this. But what you may or may not know is that they're also very tender. They're very complex. Ferociousness and tenderness living side by side in the one animal. Wolves, out of all the animals, apparently are the only species that adopt, that won't just tear a baby pup because it's abandoned into a million pieces. And we know the expression, you've been raised by wolves. Who's ever said that to someone? I think I said it a few weeks ago, actually. Can't remember what I was talking about. You behave like you've been raised by a wolf. We don't normally say that as a compliment to someone. We normally say that in response to their behaviour being negative. But a wolf is known to adopt, to take into their den, into their family, into their pack. And even if the pup they find is the pup of a rival tribe or pack, they will still adopt that baby pup into its family. It's an unthinkable idea in the world of predators. Wolves have a tenderness in their spirit. Do you have a tenderness in your spirit? And an empathy that rivals other dog packs. So to be a wolf is to be a brave warrior. but it is also to be a loving nurturer. Is that your destiny? Do you feel like you are both a great warrior and a loving nurturer? Just to the mothers in the room, who's ever been called a mother bear or a mother tiger? When the mother bear comes out, I was just called that last year because my kid got bashed at school and I had to take him to x-rays and whatever. But my husband said, running out of the house, I'll deal with it, looks like the mother bear's out. So brave running out of the house when I make such a comment. But we also have a tendency to be fierce and protect those we love. Why, therefore, is it not okay for us to be fierce and protect ourselves? I would die, literally, before I let any harm come to either of my children. Adults, you'll have to fend for yourselves, but children under my care will always have my protection, and my actual children, I would die for them. But would I die for me? Would I put up the ferocious and fierce fight to protect myself from the one who would come to kill and destroy me? Why is that not okay? So do we act like a wolf? There's this idea out there that Christians are all soft and fluffy like clouds or marshmallows, and you're allowed to walk all over them and use them as a doormat, and they won't put up a fuss because they're Christians. I've never actually gone down that path of being soft, cloudy and marshmallowy. I prefer to be fierce like a wolf and protective. I've spent a number of years disrespecting my own journey and my own work for God. Never enough, I'm not good enough, I'll never measure up, never, 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 all the nevers in the world don't make you feel better until my journey of fighting for myself started. If you want to behave like a wolf, you have to join a pack. And look at this pack. The years of experience that sitting in the room where you have one way or another fought for each other, prayed for each other, sat with each other, raised children with each other. Perhaps you were even around for each other's weddings. I'm not sure, I wasn't here. And just this morning, the pack gathered and prayed for the parts of the pack that are sick. Wolves travel with a head dog at the head and a head dog at the back. The babies travel next. The mothers travel at the back. And the old people travel in the middle. The old wolves travel in the middle. You know the expression, no man left behind? Wolves do it well. If you want to behave like a wolf, you cannot go solo. I'm a lone wolf. All the manly lone wolves out there. You cannot go it alone because a lone wolf has no protection. Wolves, as we are, pack creatures. Kipling said, "The strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack." And so it is with church. We are not meant to do church and life alone. We are meant to gather together. We are meant to be caring for each other. We are meant to look after each other. Not just in large groups like this where we listen to the word and we sing corporately, but in smaller groups, Bible studies, home groups, social groups, whatever gathers you together. Church is powerful for us, but so is joining together in smaller groups, holding each other accountable, and being part of the pack. So that was our first thing. You want to behave like a wolf, you got to stay in the pack. Secondly, we need our posture. This is not a good posture for a Christian who is winning the battle. That's not going to be very good. On any nature program, even in cartoons, you don't see wolves whimpering in the corner and, well, skulking maybe in defense of having to hunt, but they're not timid, they're not shy, they know what they want. They've got to protect, they've got to care, they've got to hunt, and these things are done with the pride that they deserve to have. Wolves obviously don't speak. They have a lot of nonverbal communication, and perhaps the greatest nonverbal communication from a wolf that we would be aware of is the baring of the teeth. You don't need to be a genius to know back off. Back off because you're going to get it. And perhaps we don't bare our teeth at Satan enough. I think he runs roughshod far too often, and we do not bare our teeth at him. Our spiritual teeth are there to be used against him who would pull us away and destroy us. We are co-heirs with Christ. Why should we, therefore, walk around as though we've just been smacked by a dead fish? Or that we just lost our best friend? However, we do suffer with humanness, a fatal flaw of the human. We will succumb to certain things of the world. I mean, even warriors get tired, even wolves have to rest. But in the resting and in the tiredness, Christ will fight our battle. He fights our battle every day with us, and then when we need to rest, he goes on fighting. When we get nervous or afraid, I remember the week leading up to last week's sermon, I just wanted to vomit every day just at the thought of giving a sermon. And I did feel a bit like this. No, I thought it was taller actually. I did feel all hunched up in my spirit, if not physically. Instead of letting Christ win that battle of feeling nervous every single day, I decided to fight it on my own, and I just couldn't. I just failed at every turn. And even Sunday morning, I didn't actually realize that I had tried to take that on myself. Our posture of praise comes when we worship, and our daily lives need to be that of worship. We need to claim our inner wolf spiritual battle won. I'm not actually thinking that you all have a wolf inside you, by the way. I am giving you permission to access the power of the Holy Spirit to win, to fight and to win what feels like horrendous life every day. Psalms tell us to raise our hands and shout triumphantly and clap your hands. Worship is and should be daily. Worship is as much a part of our posture as just standing up. It's just as much a part of our posture as prayer. You need the strength that comes from worship. You need the strength that comes from prayer. And in those moments when you feel more like a lost, scared kitten than a wolf, those are the times you need the posture the most. So I want to talk about props. Props in your life. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think that we need crutches to journey our spiritual life. But sometimes it's helpful to have a reminder of where you come from, where you're going. A man tells a story about a prop that his wife has. She wears a bracelet on one arm. And when she's feeling like she's not being the best wife or best woman of God that she can be, she switches it to the other arm to remind her that she needs to be doing better. So one day, husband decides, wife's not being the best wife she could be, and he reaches out for the bracelet. And she smacks his hand and says, you get your own dang bracelet. So you have to have your own thing that makes it possible for you to remind yourself when things aren't going great, they can go great. Perhaps it's silence. Perhaps you are one of those people who just need a bit of silence to refocus and gather your strength to go into the battle again. I had noise-cancelling earbuds once. That is terrifying. I don't know how people use them. They do literally block out everything. I could hear my own heart beating and my breathing was excessively loud in my head, and it was horrible. So that's not for me. But it could be for you to block out the world for a few minutes to get some peace. Perhaps it's an article of clothing. A woman I know who recently became a soldier, the night she got her uniform, which was the day before she wore it to church, she slept in it. It meant so much to her as a marker of her faith journey that she had slept in her uniform the night before she got enrolled. Perhaps it is a piece of jewellery. Perhaps it's a special Bible. Maybe you keep a journal of your spiritual walk. Maybe that keeps you focused on the strength you need. It could be just about anything. My own personal prop is self-care. If I'm not actually taking care of myself, I do feel myself start to unravel. And it always imagines like a jumper that the kid just keeps pulling this one string and the jumper is just being pulled apart. If I don't look after myself, I can't look after my family. And when my family starts to become unraveled, I can't look after anyone else either because my focus is off. So this week, as we move into another week of battle and another week of shining your daylight so that others may know Christ, stay strong because you deserve to be strong. There will come people who will tell you differently, but ignore that. There will come the small voice who tell you the many lies. Also, push that away. Use the power of the Spirit. And remember that this is your pack. We don't come together because this is what we always do. We come together because this is where we belong together. The trust, the care, and the love that keep us as one. Remember your pack. Remember your props. And remember that you are stronger than you think, and access the power of the Holy Spirit.